Can you guys put them on just one more time, please? We're actually going to be wearing them quite a bit on and off, but I got to do this. Say, praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
Nice. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Catherine, thanks for the introduction, I think. And Nancy, I'm going to go ahead and let you operate the slides for me this morning, please. I'm just going to lay this down right here. So the other thing, Catherine, I want to check with you. Did you steal my notes? Did you and I talk about what I was going to speak on today at all or not? Okay. Wow, that's amazing. It's going to be a good morning. Good morning. Don't put your glasses on yet, please. You'll spoil the surprise. It's a lot easier when you do it with just one person, you know? No. Growing up in the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of tension between the United States and the Soviet Union. Communism, Cold War, all that stuff. And one of the ways our culture highlighted it was through secret agents, decoder rings, hidden messages, secret passwords, all those things. And there were movies like James Bond, TV shows like The Man from U.N.C.L.E., I'm really dating myself now, or Johnny Quest. And I loved those movies. Spy movies they were so cool. I loved them. And I couldn't wait to see what gadget they were going to use to crack the code next. So today, being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, obviously, I want to talk about Thanksgiving. But when I started thinking about Thanksgiving, I'm like, whoa, that is a huge topic. Lord, where do I go from there? So he led me to Psalm 100. And this is in the Message version. So I'm going to read it. It's a very familiar psalm. It's only 5 verses. It says, "On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. He made, know this, God is God and God, God." That's just the way Eugene Peterson translates. It's so beautiful. "He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him, for God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever." Enter with the password, thank you. Let's pray. Father, we've already had an amazing time with you today. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you for Catherine's word. Thank you for everyone here today. Lord, speak to our hearts. May each one of us walk out of here today knowing you a little better, taking the next step in our faith, going back to our homes, our work, our schools to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Enter with the password, thank you. That's got my attention. And I realize that in this day and time, to hear from the Lord on being thankful and cultivating a grateful heart is really important. Enter with the password, thank you. Peterson didn't just pick this phrase at random. He didn't do it just to make the psalm more interesting. It's a literal description of what happened at the tabernacle. You literally could not enter the courts without a sacrifice. More often than not, that sacrifice was for forgiveness of sins. A bull, a ram, something of that nature. But in this particular case, the psalmist is talking about what is known as the Todah, in Hebrew, T-O-D-A-H, which is a thanksgiving offering. And it's a free will offering. You weren't required. It wasn't required. But if you brought it, you were admitted passage through the gates just as readily as if you were bringing a sin sacrifice. And I believe the psalmist, when he wrote 100, was actually being prophetic. He was actually looking forward to the day when that was the only sacrifice we needed to bring before the Lord, because Jesus took care of everything else. Jesus was the sacrifice that took care of all sin for all eternity. One sacrifice for all time, never needed to be repeated again. And for some of you here, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you're not following Jesus, then the rest of this message may not make sense. So I would just ask you to consider everything that we talk about here, that we share about here at Grace Covenant Church, with regards to the sacrifice that Jesus made, the gift that he is to us, and the fact that we can have everlasting forgiveness and eternal life with the Father because of his sacrifice. So that's us today. It doesn't require a bull or a ram to come into the place of worship. We don't even have to give our gratitude. It's still a choice. It's still an option. He may not require it, but he desires it. And in fact, we have the potential of going for long periods of time forgetting gratitude, forgetting thankfulness. But life still gets done. God is still good and working. He hears our prayers, provides for our families, teaches us through his word. We go to work, we have church, we go to parties, we watch sports. The list goes on. And we have the potential of doing it all and not taking the time to thank God. This can be especially true when we find ourselves going through a tough season in life. Seasons when I don't really feel grateful. I don't feel thankful. It is a season that we find that God still loves us. He sees us. And eventually he gets our attention. He is so patient with us. He is so full of grace. And when we get ready, we will bring our thanks to him. But actually, when I look out at this group, I find it hard to believe that you all would go very long without giving God thanks. We did it multiple times this morning. You guys are just too happy. You're too kind. You're too generous to not be grateful. But at the same time, I do realize that we go through tough stretches or busy stretches where the words thank you just doesn't roll off our tongues, stay stuck in our hearts. But I believe that Peterson's use of the word password is so accurate and appropriate, especially when it comes time to express gratitude and it doesn't make sense. Thank you will truly open doors that might otherwise go unnoticed, or even worse, remain closed. Those doors remain closed, keeping us from entering into the very thing that God is trying to help us see. And on the contrary, if we lose our sense of gratitude, we might find ourselves going through doors that we had no intention of going through. Jealousy, selfishness. So you guys ready for the fun part? Get your glasses ready. So these glasses, someone said rose-colored. Yep, rose-colored glasses. I'm calling these the glasses of gratitude. So that slide right there is life. Noisy, busy, confusing. I need some clarity. I need to be able to see what God might have for me as I'm living through life. So put your glasses on and tell me what you see. Joy. I'm not going to reread Psalm 100. But in the midst of everything going on, God wants us, you can change to the next slide. God wants us to live a life of joy. Does anyone here feel like you have too much joy? Just can't handle any more joy? Anybody here want more joy? We have to realize that joy, real joy, is more than just happiness. And it can only come from being with God. So when we enter His presence with gratitude, we enter into His joy. When we come to Him with thankful hearts, we sense His pleasure, His joy, His refreshment, and even His humor. By the way, check on your sense of humor and laughter. Because, boy, we're going to need that going forward. So many times when I find myself starting to get annoyed, Jesus reminds me that there's a lot of good stuff going on in my life. And the things that are starting to grind my gears really aren't worth losing my joy over. So lighten up. Stop taking yourselves too seriously. Life is not sustainable without joy. God knows that. So by His Spirit, He will keep refreshing us in ways that are meaningful to us. If you find yourself running low on joy, start by thanking God for laughter, for beauty, for your favorite song, for ugly Christmas sweaters. Whatever it takes, start thanking God and watch Him fill you up with joy and see what happens. Let's go back to life, Nancy. There we are again. Life. Crazy. What do you guys see this time? Peace. Anybody want more peace in their lives? Yeah. So Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Life does get overwhelming at times. Work, kids, bills, sickness, etc. The truth is, God never expects us to handle life all by ourselves. He wants to be invited into these situations, even the ones that are a result of my own foolishness, my own mistakes, my own bad decision. God still wants to be invited into that. When we pray to God with thanksgiving, we are promised that we will experience real peace. Peace that will protect our hearts and our minds. Let's go back to life. Now what do you see? Trust. By the way, Let's just say thank you right now, okay? Because that's what's enabling us to be in his presence to see these things. So Lord, thank you for trust. Thank you. Okay, trust. Trust versus uncertainty. First Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says this, "Be cheerful no matter what. Pray at all times. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live." I have a hard time watching sporting events because every commercial asks me if I've prepared well for retirement. Or reminds me that the car I drive is a piece of junk. Have I prepared well for retirement? Every other commercial also seems to question my financial preparedness or my quality of life. But the truth is, our lives are filled with uncertainty. Perhaps it's a relationship or a job, financial obligations, raising kids, or taking care of aging parents. Whatever it may be. And when I find myself in that place of uncertainty, not only am I unsure about what's going on, sometimes I wonder if God knows what's going on. I don't know what I'm doing. Does God know what he's doing? Or what is he doing? Because it doesn't seem to make sense right now, and it doesn't feel very good. Sometimes we forget that there's power in our gratitude. And when we combine that with our prayers, it grabs God's heart. Tremendous release and clarity takes place. We don't have to know everything or be in control. In that moment, when we go to God, I don't understand what's happening. Help me. Give me some wisdom. Let me see what's really going on here. When we go to God with that heart, thank you, Father. I know you're going to help me in this situation. Suddenly we find that we find a sense of God's direction or the next step. And before we know it, we're moving forward again, trusting in his leading and his timing. Let's stop right now and take a moment to thank God that he's always with us. Father, we just confess there are times in our lives that we don't understand what's going on. And we need wisdom. We need truth. We need direction. And Father, when we stop and ask you, you're so good. You open things up. You help us see. And for those today that are really struggling in a place of uncertainty, where they're not sure of what's going to happen next, Father, we invite you to speak to their hearts right now. Give them wisdom. Give them clarity. Give them direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Back to life. What do you see now? Hope. Hope. Hope versus despair. Hope versus discouragement. Psalm 42 says this, "Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him." The modern English version says, "Yet thank him." There is an element of this particular praise that is surrounded with thanksgiving. He is my Savior and my God. And before I get too far in this one, I just want to say I understand that anxiety and depression are very real. Sometimes definitely need to be treated with medical care, counseling. So I don't want to minimize the severity or the seriousness of that. But this psalm is also talking about waking up with the blues, down in the dumps, just in a bad mood. A lot of times that comes because we've lost vision, we've lost hope, we've lost an expectancy that God wants us to carry in our hearts. And even if you are struggling with a deeper depression or a deeper anxiety, I still challenge you as followers of Jesus Christ that thankfulness, gratitude, and expectancy are a part of your healing journey and should not be ignored. Thankfulness, as I said, creates expectation and keeps us from feeling lost and insignificant. When we're at a low point and go to God with grateful hearts, He meets us in that low place, one-on-one. And as we focus on Him, we realize He's focusing on us, reminding us of how much He loves us and how He's looking forward to all the things we get to experience together. As the psalmist said, "My Savior, my God." Number five. You guys doing okay? Hanging with me? Up. This one. I think we've had like six messages on forgiveness in the last 3 months. Something like that. But nevertheless, it's something that we need to keep in front of us. Forgiveness versus offense. Colossians 3:13 through 15 says this: "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Sometimes it doesn't take much for me to lose my grateful heart. I'm driving along in my car, which I did upgrade, by the way. Not because the commercial told me to, but because I had to, because my other one was, it was dangerous. Anyway, I'm driving along, listening to Crowder, loving all that God is doing, so thankful, so worshipful, and then someone cuts in front of me and slows to like 20 miles per hour below the speed limit. At that point, car church is done. And I don't even know the person that cut in front of me. Just like God never intended us to do life without Him, He doesn't intend us to do life without each other either. Faults and all. My God is also your my God. He's our God. And for this season, He's put us together to serve each other in our community and beyond. It's you that makes the Grace Covenant Church family what it is. And I just want to personally take the time right now to say I'm so grateful that we have each other. Challenging, strengthening, loving, supporting one another. It's so precious. So before jumping to the wrong conclusions about each other, Let's thank God first that he's put us together and see what happens. And oh yeah, this goes for all of our relationships, not just our church relationships. Family, work. Before we jump to conclusions, before we allow ourselves to be offended, take a moment and thank God for that person that he loves, that he created, that he put in your life, and see what happens. All right, back to the world. Number 6, generosity. Yes. 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 15. This is a long one, so bear with me. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply an increase, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing into many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. I told you it was long. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So as I mentioned earlier, I'm approaching retirement. If I have enough money to do so, I think it's still probably 15, 20 years out.
There we go.
I don't know. So I've lived a while. I've been around a lot of different types of people from a lot of different countries, a lot of different cultures, people that have a lot, people that don't have so much. And one thing I've determined, and all the people I've met along the way, is if I meet a person who is truly grateful, that person is also a generous person. I have never met a grateful person who was not also a generous person. As Christians, we need to know in our hearts that every good gift comes from God and that his heart is to bring about provision, increase, and growth through his people. Not just through material gifts, but spiritual gifts as well. And guaranteed there'll be times when we don't feel like we have much to offer, or we may even be in need ourselves. But if we choose to accept what we do have with thanksgiving and willingly share it with others as God directs us, we can look forward to seeing it turn into multiple blessings in multiple ways. I've said this before, the little boy who gave his lunch when Jesus was feeding the thousands, that little boy did not go hungry that day. So even if you don't feel like you have anything to offer, offer what you have to God first and watch what he does with it. You'll be amazed. And now the 7th and final secret message is power. Power. So Jesus, he did a lot of amazing things. The one that I think we blow by sometimes that still is just an incredible story is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So this is John's account. Again, I'm reading from the Message version. So Jesus says this, "Go ahead and take away the stone." So they removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, "Father, I am grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me." And then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And he came out, a cadaver, wrapped from head to toe with a kerchief over his face. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him loose." In rereading that story, I am convinced that Jesus was constantly thanking the Father, that he walked this earth with fullness of gratitude. Even when he was experiencing the distress of grief and facing the reality of his own suffering and death, he never once stopped thanking God. The Bible records Jesus giving thanks to God on several occasions. He gave thanks before feeding the thousands of people. He gave thanks in breaking the bread and the wine and establishing the new covenant, which we celebrate each month. And just before Lazarus is raised from the dead. Each of these instances in their own way demonstrating the power that's available to us. Power that's available when we approach God with a grateful heart. Remember, it's thanksgiving that opens the gates to his presence and his miraculous power. The same power that raised Lazarus and Jesus from the dead lives in us. We have God's power in us through the Holy Spirit, power to bless, power to overcome troubles. But just like with our little experiment with these glasses, these silly little glasses that try to illustrate the point I'm trying to make here today, but we have to look for that power. And we have to recognize it. And it's not always raise the dead power. It's multiply the loaves power. It's embracing the truth that Jesus took care of my sin. The simple power that is represented when we take communion each month. Power to bless and power to overcome troubles. So as I close this morning, I want to leave you with this synopsis, this summary. I'd like to go ahead and invite the ministry team, small group leaders, pastors, if you want to come up. If any of this that I've shared today, hopefully it's encouraged you. Hopefully it's inspired you. And I know this list was not exhaustive. It wasn't. That would have taken till Thanksgiving. But it's a starting point. And there were things that I believe that God put on my heart for us today. But you may find yourself in a place where you're seeing more the busy screen than what God wants to show you. And maybe a good start is to come forward this morning and just thank God privately or with someone in prayer. And whatever it is that you need to see, ask him for that. And I guarantee you something will shift and change. if you're willing to do that. As I said multiple times during this morning, life is full of both blessings and disappointments. And as we enter into God's presence with thanksgiving, with a heart of gratitude that's not out of obligation, but a choice that we're making, a coming to a place in our hearts where we realize that our lives, the good times or the bad times, are in the hands of a loving, gracious Father whom we can access 24/7 because of Jesus, and who will guide us and empower us by the Holy Spirit. As His children, we belong to His kingdom, but this world will try to discourage us from living kingdom lives. Lives that respond differently, making choices that aren't what typically are expected or even justified by the world standards. And we can do this because we follow Jesus, who has overcome the world. And we're being led by the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth and gives us the power to make a difference. Can I pray with you this morning as we close? Can we just stand? Father, thank you. Thank you that Jesus took care of it all. And now we have free access to you. Lord, we confess this morning that we don't always understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, or even the timing. But today we want to start fresh. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful. If I started to list all the things that I'm thankful for, I don't think I could get through them all. But this Sunday before the week where we as a nation celebrate Thanksgiving, Lord, turn what is into a day, a single day holiday, into our hearts 365 days a year. Father, I pray for release of your power and blessing into each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's see that. We got one more. Yep. Is it there? Yes. Happy Thanksgiving.